Good morning. We're going to get started now. It's time. Come on in. Sit down. A little louder. All right, folks. This is Midway Church of Christ. We're really glad you guys could make it in today. If you're worshiping online, we're glad to have you, and hopefully you can come just as soon as you can and join us here in the, for live worship. It's really nice to be with the brothers and sisters. Everyone here today, look in the front of your pews. You'll see the little cards. We're asking if you would fill those out, and then we'll have a child come through and pick them up here in a little while. I think they want them passed to the outside rows, if I remember right. Yes. All right. So at this time, we're going to have an opening prayer, and then we'll get started with our worship. Bow with me, please. Thank you, Father, for this day, for this time that we've come together to worship you, Father. We're so grateful to be a part of your church, and Father, we're just so grateful to live in a world that you've created. Thank you so much for the people that are here that are leading this worship, for their talents, Lord. We know everything comes from you. Lord, thank you so much for this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Come on, let's go ahead and get started.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. Christ, we do all adore thee, and we do praise thee forever. Christ, we do all adore thee, and we do praise thee forever. For on the holy cross hast thou the world from sin. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. Have come with open hearts ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways.
Thanks. I'm going to say everyone here this morning isn't going to be a Christian. I usually don't teach class in here on Sunday mornings. I had a different mic, and then I knew I needed to change mics. And Kendall came over and changed mics while I was talking to somebody, and I didn't realize he changed my mic. So I went back there while he was leading singing and changed the mics back. Then he came back and said, "No, you need to have this mic." And I feel like NASCAR. I've gone through the pit stop. So if a wheel falls off, you'll know. Okay. There we go. There was a father who, his family, they would come to services on Sunday nights. They got into the habit after Sunday night services, they would go get ice cream after services. And so he decided that he was going to change that and not go get ice cream. And all the kids in the car were upset and they were whining, "Why aren't we getting ice cream?" And so he said to them, "Where in the Bible does it say that you have to get food after services?" And one of the kids in the back said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after all the righteousness, for they will be filled." The father corrected them and said, "It's not after all the righteousness, it's after righteousness." But that was good, so they stopped and got ice cream. Habits. Habits are something we have, right? We all have habits. Some are good habits, some are bad habits. There's some research from Southern California that a researcher, Wendy Wood, did that says 40 to 45% of daily behavior is habit. Things we do out of habit, not necessarily even thinking about them. I don't always refer to the dictionary, but if you look up the dictionary for the word habit, it's a reoccurrent, often unconscious pattern of behavior acquired through frequent repetition. Things we do all the time. And I've told you before, in martial arts, they have a concept of mushim. You do something, you do a low block or a high block over and over. You do it so many times that it becomes an empty mind technique. You don't even think about it. So people eat cereal, shave, drive their car. We do a lot of things automatically and we don't even think about it. It's mushim. It's a habit. Sometimes we pick up new habits. We try to change our habits. We go to the doctor and discover we got some bad habits and we need to have better habits. Sometimes changing those habits are difficult. Whether you're getting a new habit or you're getting rid of an old habit, the experts say it takes about 6 weeks. Some will claim things quicker, but it takes some time sometimes to make changes. Have you added some new habits in your life? I was thinking about that this week, and during the ice storm, I got my generator out, and it was really difficult to start, and Brendan had to help me, and we finally got it started, and it ran and ran and ran, and then the electricity came back on, and so we killed the generator, and we tried to restart it, and we broke the rope, and so I took the generator in to get it looked at because I didn't want it to be so difficult. I mean, I want to pull it one time, and it starts, right? And so he was explaining to me, you know, if you let it sit for a couple of years and then you try to start it, that's not a good idea. So at least once a month, every time you go out to mow, start a generator. So I have a new habit now, sometimes even more often than once a month. But now when I'm mowing, I'll start that up. And that's a new habit. It's a good habit because it's easy to start every time, and I want it to be easy to start when, like last week, the electricity went out, and I discovered that the generator's in the garage, and the garage is such, so I have to manually raise the garage door up, and I have a new habit. Now I put it in a new place, right? So sometimes changing things is good. I read this week that a good habit to have is to think of three things you're thankful for and write them down or say them every day. So I've started that habit, and I was amazed this week how sometimes my perspective as I'm running, that's when I think about the things I'm thankful for, and I say them out loud so people in my neighborhood think I'm a crazy person, but how that changes my outlook on things that happen during the day just because I start off thinking about something a little differently. Habits are important. Some habits are bad and need to be changed. Some habits are good, and we need to even pick up more and more habits that make us better. And the church is no different. There are things that we should do that are just part of who we are. Part of what we've been doing in this last series is the cross-cultural church. Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was willing to give himself up. He gave up his life, his will, and his comfort for us. And it needs to be part of who we are to give up our lives, our will, our comfort. And so as we've gone through this study, we've seen different things that need to become a part of us. But especially in the text this morning, we learn about three habits that we need to have as we care about people in the world, because we live in a world that's in need, a world that needs help, a world that's broken, a world that's lost. They need us to have some habits. We're going to look at those three habits this morning. Let's consider three habits for the cross-cultural church in Acts chapter 3. A pretty familiar story. Peter and John go up to the temple. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. So this is a time when a lot of Jews would go to the temple to pray. They primarily prayed morning, noon, and afternoon. And there was also an obligatory sacrifice that some people would make and at the temple at that time of the day. So this is a time that it's going to be crowded. There's going to be a lot of people there. They go to the temple at that time, and there was a man who was lame from birth. He was carried to the temple, to the gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So there's a man. He's been crippled from birth. He was born unable to walk. And these people, all of his life, we learn later in chapter, we're going to look at next week, that he's 40 years old. So for 40 years of his life, he's been cared for by other people. He didn't have the same childhood that our children have, where they can run and play and climb trees and do all those things. His life was missed all that. It's sad when you think about it. And these people brought him to the temple to beg for money. He would sit there on the steps where he was placed and beg for money. And Peter and John are in the temple. He's by the gate, Beautiful, which is a huge gate, 75 feet tall, made of Corinthian brass. Of a lot of the historians, Josephus and other people back at that time would say it was the most beautiful gate in the temple. And it separated the court of men from the court of women. It was a place where there was a lot of traffic, and he's sitting there begging for help. The first principle, the first habit we need to get into is go where the people are. Sometimes we get into the habit of thinking we need to get people to the church. Like I told you, 66% of the people out there in the world says we ain't going to church. We're not coming to the church building. But 72% of them say, if your faith is sincere, I want to know about your faith. But we're not going to get them here. We got to go out there. There's an old song, Mountaintop. It'd be nice to sit on the mountaintop, fellowshipping with the Lord. And you think about our kids are fixing to go to camp. You know, those are special places to go, cool places to go. A lot of great things happen. We need those experiences. But sometimes we'd like to stay in those experiences, but you can't stay on the mountaintop. You got to come down to the people in the valley below. God needs us to, Jesus didn't say stay, he said go. Go into all the world, make disciples of the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things. Go. Go out into the world. We can get comfortable as Christians just being here and trying to get the world to come to us, but we have to remember we need to go out into the world. We need to have the perspective of when we go into the world that we have opportunities. When you go to the store, when you go to the doctor's office, and I know we're coming out of a pandemic where we've been limited and we've been staying in and not going out, but now we're starting to go out, and when we go out and we're around people, we look for the opportunities. God's given me an opportunity to care about people in the world. Those people are broken. Those people are lost. Those people are hurting. And sometimes it's easy, you know, sometimes I go to the store, I know what I want. I want what I'm going to get. I want to get in and I want to get out. That's kind of sometimes my mentality, right? I could go to a restaurant real quick. In fact, sometimes we drive through because we don't want to mess with people inside, right? But we need to change our habits. We need to take opportunities to say hey to the person behind the register. Maybe to sit in a restaurant where someone is sitting across and just say hi to them. We need to go into the world and be who we are in the world. We're not supposed to be hiding out. We're supposed to be going and look for the opportunities that God gives you. It changes your perspective, doesn't it? If I'm in a doctor's office, I was in a doctor's office this week, when I was talking to the person checking in, I was asking them, how's your week going? You know, now sometimes somebody may tell you, get lost, mind your own business or whatever, but we're supposed to go, we're supposed to engage, we're supposed to be looking for the opportunities, not running away from them. And sometimes it's difficult to care about people because when we care, we leave ourselves vulnerable, and sometimes we love until our arms break and it's nothing but a heartache. Sometimes it's more trouble than it's worth, we think. But that's what Jesus did when he was here, and that's what he expects us to do while we're here. Reach out. I want to go to heaven, and I want to take as many people with me as I can, and I can't do that if I'm not going out there. Make sense? Be in the habit. Go where the people are. Sometimes people say, well, I'm spending Christmas with the family. You know, there's things that we're not going to talk about. You know, don't bring up religion. Go where the people are and be the people of God. Bring stuff up. Do it in the right way. Do it in the right spirit. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. Sometimes it doesn't need to be brought up because people don't do it right. Let your light shine. You got it. You got that point. Then Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the hand, right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. What an amazing miracle. He gave the man what he had. And the point for us is, give people what you have. In the story, here's a man that's been lame for 40 years. He walks up to him. He gets his attention. He looks at him and says, what's he there for? What does he want? He wants alms. He wants money. That's why he's there. And Peter says, gold and silver I do not have, but what I have I give you. And what he had to give him was so much better than money. Some people in the world, all they want is money. There's some Christians very interested in money. What you should be more interested in is what God can give you. Because God can give you things that are much greater than money. Security, peace of mind, all kinds of stuff. We lived in a stressed out world, and God's got things to give you. He can give you everything you need according to His glorious riches, my Bible says in Philippians. Everything I need, He'll give me. Everything I need for life and godliness, He gives me. God gives it to me. God's wanting to give you something, and He wants us to give people something. He wants us to give them what we have. Another song that the kids would sing, love is like a lucky penny, hold it tight, you won't have any. Give it away and you'll have plenty, you'll end up having more. Love is something if you give it away, right? Don't hold it tight, give it. Give what you have. You might not have a lot of money, but do you have forgiveness? Give it. Do you have love? Give it. Do you have peace? Give it. Do you have assurance? Give it. Give what you have. Sometimes if we would be more focused on giving people what we have instead of not giving them anything because we don't think we have what they need, just give what you have. That's what Peter did. He gave what he had. And he brought someone who was broken. He brought them healing. In this case, we don't have that ability anymore to do that. But there's lots of things that I can give a person. Someone sat in my office this week, and what they needed me to give them was my ear. So I listened. I gave them what I had. And then as I listened, I thought, what an incredible story. What an incredible way God is working. And so I gave them my affirmation, my assurance, my joy based on what they were saying. We can all give that, can't we? I'm not all that special, but God's given me some things that I can give. That's why the Bible says, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, use whatever gift you have to serve one another. If it's speaking, speak. If it's serving, serve. Give what you have. You have a lot more than you think you have. Are you willing to give it to those who need it? Sometimes we have neighbors that are willing to give us their stuff to help us out. As Christians, we should be people that are always ready to do what is good. That's what Titus chapter 3 says. Always be ready to do what is good. And the picture there, you're watching the Olympics maybe, but is a sprinter in the blocks. The gun's fixing to go off, and the person, those sprinters, when that gun goes off, sometimes when it doesn't go off, they go, right? They're ready. Are you ready to do what is good? Give people what you have. And then in the text that Tom read, Peter sees a greater need than a man being able to walk. He sees people who are lost that need Jesus, and he gives them the direction they need to be right with God. And he talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he says, you need to repent. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He says, repent. Change your life. Turn around. Make yourself right with God. That's the direction they needed to go. But even before that, when the guy that was healed was hanging on to Peter and John, all the people saw the miracle, and what did they do? They ran toward them, and Peter said, stop. We're nothing special. Don't give us the glory. Give God the glory. And then he tells the people, God has given you an opportunity to be right with God. Repent and find refreshing times of refreshment from the Lord. And he points them in the right direction. You and I, as we're in the world and as we're around each other, we should be pointing people in the right direction. Well, I just don't want to get involved. I just don't want to speak up. God's people stand up. God's people speak up. If somebody's doing something wrong, speak up. Do it in the right way. Do it with gentleness. Do it with kindness. Do it in the right way. But point people in the right direction. How would you want someone to see you doing something wrong and never point it out? No. Jesus said the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. If you were wrong, you would want somebody to point it out nicely, kindly, tactfully, but you'd want them to point out. One of our jobs, one of our habits needs to be pointing people in the right direction. He pointed them to Jesus. That's what we need to be doing in the world. Looking for opportunities to point people in the right direction. It may not come the first week. There's some of our members that are members here that I knew for years. I took my time. I talked about lots of other things, but I waited for the right opportunities. They're Christians today because I was smart about how I pointed them in the right direction. We got to use our brain cells, but we need to make sure that we speak up. Don't remain silent. Point people in the right direction. Sometimes we have habits we need to change. Sometimes it's good to change. If you go to YouTube and you type in training fleas, you'll get some videos about fleas being trained. Exciting. Sounds exciting, right? So some scientists discovered that when they put fleas in a jar, the fleas could just jump out because fleas can jump about 13 inches. That's how they go. You heard about the two fleas and said, should we walk or take the dog? Yeah, I knew Herman would like that. Anyway, That's how they jump from dog to dog, right? They can jump. But they put a lid on the jar, and they discovered something. The fleas will jump and hit the lid over and over and over. And pretty soon, they're kind of twitching on the bottom, right? But in a short period of time, they quit jumping and hitting the lid. They stop right before they get to the lid, and they go back down. Up and down, up and down, but they don't go hit the lid anymore. Smart fleas, right? Then they take the, about after 3 days, they take the lid off, and guess what the fleas do? They jump the same distance, but they don't jump out of the jar anymore. They just go right below where the lid was, and they go back down. And when they reproduce, their children do what? The same thing. And they're basically stuck in this jar that's open. God knows about our habits. Satan knows about our habits too. Satan will try to get us into some habits that we're just stuck. And we don't break out. And we don't go where God wants us to go. Those are habits we need to change. Do you have the attitude? If the world wants Jesus, they can come to church. But I ain't going out there. You need to change and go where the people are. Do you have the kind of attitude, I don't want to get involved? The preacher needs to do that. The elders need to do that. I don't want to get involved. Or do you give people what you have? Give people what you have. What you have is special. If you don't think that, come talk to me. Let's talk. Let's pray. Let's discover your gifts. Let's help you understand the beauty of who you are in Christ so that you can give what you have. Because what hurts the church is when people don't give what they have. And let's be people that point people in the right direction. Don't remain silent. Don't get stuck. Change your habits. We're watching the Olympics. We have some people that do some things habitually, and now they're trying to perform at the highest level. God wants us to be people who are ambitious about making a difference. But what we want to do is we want to help heal and help those who are broken. This morning, the text gives us three ways that we can help. Go where the people are, give people what you have, point people in the right direction. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you're a part of that rescue mission. Maybe you're a place in your life where you need to be rescued. Today's an opportunity that you could confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you haven't made that step, if you were to ask me in my life, what are the most valuable, greatest habits that I changed? Coming to Jesus was one of them. As a teenager, deciding every day I was going to read this word, 3 chapters a day, 5 chapters on Sunday, read the whole Bible through, that habit changed everything for me. What kind of habits do you have? What kind of habits are good? What kind of habits are bad? What kind of habits need to change? Wherever you're at, make the right choices that put Jesus first as we sing.
Threaten if storms are trial burst above my head. If flashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of thy abiding presence where I am, to feel that thou art near. Be with me, takes me when I must weep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure for worlds unknown. O Lord, be with me then.
Night and on olive's brow the star is dimmed that lately shone. 'Tis midnight in the garden now, thus offering the Savior praise. Midnight, and from all removed, the Savior wrestles lone with fears. In that disciple whom he loved, heeds not his master's grief and tears. 'Tis midnight, and for others' guilt, the man of sorrows weeps in blood. Yet he that hath in anguish knelt is not forsaken by his God. 'Tis midnight, and from either plains is born the song that angels know, unheard by mortals are the strains that sweetly soothe the Savior's woe.
Cross culture. That has been the theme of Russell's sermon over the last few weeks. We have come to that part of our service where we are truly focused on the cross and what occurred on the cross and the victory that was won on the cross. So as we reflect on Christ and center our thoughts on Christ, let us remember and think upon the two emblems that he left and asked us to remember him by: the bread, which represents his body, which represents the pain and suffering that his body had to go through for our sake. It says, by his stripes we are healed. Christ was willing to take on the punishment that we deserve in his own body, to purchase us back, to use his body as a ransom for our sake, to purchase us back from death, from certain death and absolute death. The other item was the cup, or the fruit of the vine. That represents his blood, blood which he spilled out on the cross. That blood cleanses us. It cleanses us from our sins and purifies us and makes us whole in God's sight and acceptable to him. That's what Christ did for us on the cross. Let us be Christ-focused as we remember him now, as we take of his supper. Let us bow. Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for your Son, thanking you for Christ, for his willingness to come to this earth, Father, for his willingness to take the punishment that we deserved upon himself for his sacrifice. We pray now that as we partake of this bread, that we will remember him and be thankful. In Christ's name, amen. Let us now bow for the cup. Father, we continue our prayer of thanksgiving to you, thanking you again for Christ. We're thankful for his willingness, Father, to pour out his blood for us. We thank you for his life, for his death, and for the victory that is found in him. In Christ's name, amen.
My mask caught on my glasses. If you'll remember, Justin Duffy asked you to fill out the cards from the pew in front of you and pass them to the outside aisle. Oh gosh, I almost said inside. So used to that. Pass them to the outside aisle. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass them towards the inside. I know that's confusing, possibly, but someone's going to come and pick them up along these outer perimeters of the main area of the auditorium.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined
Church, and want you to know that the elders are grateful for that. And as we're dismissing this online portion of the service, we'd like to also thank and continue to thank for the contribution. We love you, God. We love you, Father, for the church that has been established here. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that we receive as Christians, and especially at this time, Father, we are thankful for the material blessings and for the financial support that we have that we can contribute to and commit to this program of work that's been identified by the elders here at this place. We would pray, Father, that you would give them strength, that we would use the funds that would please you. Pray, Father, now that as we're dismissed from this online service, that you will forgive us of our sins, stay with us during this week, keep us close to your side. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.